Amen, amen. He's never failed me yet. Wow. How many of in here believe that to be true? Wow. That's just, it moves me every time I hear that song. Made a way out of no way. No way. I'm Elder Dan Smith. I'm here to kind of bring you a little message. I'm a storyteller more than a preacher. Is that okay? You guys like stories? Okay. You guys believe the Bible is true? Am I in here with like-minded Bible-believing Christians? Okay, so in the Word, you're going to hear some stories. And you're going to believe them, right? Amen, because His Word never returns void. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, we just take this time, this moment to sit in your presence. We're going to break some bread at your welcome table. We're going to open up your scripture. We're going to behold the loaves that you'll be dishing out. And we pray that when we leave here, that we will be filled, not just with your word, but of your spirit. This is my prayer. I do ask in thy son's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You know, I feel like I'm sort of at home here. Message of hope. You know, I'm from Patmos. Amen for Patmos. Amen. A lot of message of hope has come out of Patmos. Amen. Proche, I see you there. I love seeing, we always see him when we're working somewhere. You know, I knew he had some musical gifts, but on the drums, oh my goodness. You've been holding back, Proche. Whoa. So, yes, I'm at home. Dr. Bushner, he brings his regards. He asked me to kind of step in while he, you know, he's away at a funeral. Can I get a little volume here? All right, yeah. I know I have that deep Barry White voice, but you know, probably some of you guys don't know remember who Barry White was, but you know. Yeah, all right. I got some friends in the house. All right. I got my cousins over here, Dr. Kimberly and Dr. Harold Phillips. They're here, and my beautiful wife. She's just glowing in that orange. I love it. So yes, we are here. We're gonna break some bread and I'm going to read the scripture, and the scripture says, Matthew, take it from Matthew. What did I say? Now, I'm kind of an interactive type of talker. That's it. Who said that? Yes. All right. So when I talk, I'm going to want some response from you, because we're in a big living room. We're all believers, and we're going to interact together. So Matthew's, what did I say? Matthew 14, 28 through 31. I'm reading from the NIV version. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and replied, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? The message that I have for you today is beyond a shadow of doubt. Beyond a shadow of doubt. Now, the Cambridge Google Dictionary states, if you know or believe something beyond a shadow of doubt, you are certain that it is true. Now, there are some synonyms here. Certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Definitely, irrefutable. And I'm sure you guys heard these expressions. Clear as day. You can look out there. Boom, beautiful. We're in Florida. Look up at the sky. It is clear as day. Make no mistake. Irrefutable. Now, in court, there's a meaning of beyond the shadow of a doubt that says it means that the evidence represented must be so convincing that no reasonable person could have any doubts about the defendant's guilt. Now, I don't know if we're some Trump supporters or whatever, you know, but there's some reasonable doubt or beyond shadows of doubt when the January 6th. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, beyond a shadow of doubt. So the question begs to ask, what evidence did Peter have that he could walk on water? If Jesus only bid him to come. I want to show you this little clip now, and we're going to just break it down and analyze a little bit. You got that clip ready? All right, let it roll. Wow, wow, wow. Amen, amen on that. Wow, wow. So let's go back and kind of break that down and analyze that a little bit. Let's do a little reaccounting of what happened, you know, the events that led up to that. So I'm going to read some more scripture here. I'm going to start with Matthew 14 going back to 22. Immediately, I'm reading from the NIV. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Here we go again. "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. Why did you doubt? So going back to that, I'm sure when it started out, before they got in the boat, it was a nice, beautiful day. This is after Jesus did his miracles. He did different types of miracles. You know, I can imagine in my mind's eye that they had their own Al Roker, biblical Al Roker, who reported, "It's going to be a beautiful sunny day. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day. The winds are going to be calm. If you're going to be sailing, it's a great day to sail." So they all went out, went on the boat, went on the other side. But, you know, when some of the turbulence started to billow on the waters, a little bit of doubt started to creep in. Now, it's how many of you here have flown before? Pretty much everyone. So when let's say you're flying on one of these gorgeous days like today. You get up in the plane, and it looks beautiful. And then you get in, you fasten your seatbelt. Then the light comes on. You can take your seatbelt off now. It's a nice ride. There's no turbulence. So you're there. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a nice, smooth flight. Then you get, boom, that first one, boom, boom. It's, oh, that's okay. I can deal with that, you know. You're listening or you're reading your Sabbath School Quarterly, you know, up there, you know, just or watching something, listening to something. Then, boom, boom. So, wait. Boom, 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 boom. Wait. Hey, whoa. Then the light comes on. "Please fasten your seatbelts. We're about to enter into a zone of turbulence." You're like, turbulence? Didn't they say this is going to be a nice, smooth flight? The pilot said he's found this nice area where there's no turbulence at all. And then you start rumbling, and then the plane starts shaking. Oh, my goodness. Start dropping. Have anyone experienced that? What do? "Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Help, Lord. If there's any sin that I've had, please, please forgive me." You start confessing. You start praying. So, "Lord, if I get off this plane, you take me through this one time. I'll never do this or that again." You can see it. I did it myself. it's like we are always thinking that the Christian walk should be smooth sailing, nice, smooth sailing, no turbulence. But when the turbulence comes, it kind of tests our faith. It shakes us up. But then when after the turbulence, after we've prayed, after we've confessed and did everything, the plane starts to land. And what do we say? Thank God. Ooh, he brought me through that. Glad we're good. We're good. You get off the plane like nothing happened. You smiling and like, hey, it's a beautiful day. You forget about that. Then you go about your business. You forget about those promises you made to God that I'll never do this again, never do that again. This is what happens when we're in our lives, when we're faced with turbulence, when we're faced with obstacles. We take them to God, but when he gets us through it, we kind of forget. That's just a human tendency. But let's talk about beyond the shadow of doubt. Peter was just with, this amazes me. Peter was just with Jesus when he fed 5,000, the Bible says men, but there were women and children as well. He was with Jesus when Jesus fed 5,000 with a filet of fish sandwich and a Happy Meal. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, he passed around, and to top it off, he even had leftovers. Now, how many in here like leftovers? Anybody like leftovers? I know I'm at a bougie church, and you know some people don't eat leftovers. It's like, oh, I'm one and done. But hey, I love leftovers. You don't have to. Yeah, I saw you didn't have to raise your hand, but I'm a leftover guy. You know. Yeah. I like that we talking about. But the disciples experienced miracle after miracle with Jesus. So the question goes back, what happened? What made Peter lose faith? What happened? I mean, they were just with him. This was before they got into the boat. They were just with him. They saw these miracles. So you know, I would say the disciples, they were no different than us. We lose faith sometime. We get it twisted. You know, God delivers us from something. We go back to our ways. Believe it or not, Peter was living a miracle. He didn't even realize it. He didn't even realize that he was in a miracle when he was walking on the water. God blesses us when we don't even remember that he's blessing us and delivering us. How many times have we been blessed, then turned around and said, woe is me, woe is me, Lord have mercy. I thought you were going to deliver me from this situation. I thought you was going to pay my mortgage. What happened? When he's kept you in this house time and time and time again. I know the economy is kind of crazy now. It's like it's upside down. There's some people are paying more for rent than they did in a mortgage. Mercy. But how many times have God looked out for us and we've been living in the miracle and just forgot or didn't realize it? But we want God to show up again, pick us up. You know, when we're walking on water, we're already walking on water. He's already delivering us. We are already living the miracle, but we forget. And we take our eyes off Christ. We take our eyes off the provider. And we sink. What happens? What happens? Let's see what happens. So Peter, he took his eyes off Christ. He looked at the winds. He looked at his, here we go. He got distracted. I have a friend that always says, like, when you get a distraction, squirrel. It's like, you know, you see a squirrel running across. Oh, squirrel, you know. Takes you off of what's important in front of you. Looking at your friends, seeing what they have. So-and-so's, I wish I had a wife like so-and-so. She's beautiful. Not appreciating your wife. I wish I had a dapper husband that like so-and-so. Not appreciating your husband. I wish my family was this way, or I wish I had a bigger house, or I wish I had a bigger job. Always comparing to what the world tells you what's important instead of keeping your eyes and focus on Christ. We get distracted. It's easy. We're human. It's the lie that Satan has given us that we are self-made. We can be, we are the conquerors. We are controlling our own destiny. We don't need anyone. That's society. We don't need Christ. And that has led us to not depend on God when the problems come our way. You know, we are God-made. We are not self-made. If we remember that we are God-made and God-ordained, we need to remember that God has ordered our steps. So, okay, all right, so what happens? What's happening with Peter? Peter sinks. Peter shouts, Jesus, save me. How do you, okay, so, and then that's what happens. How do you increase your faith? And how do we keep the focus when all these things are going on around us? What do we do? How do we keep our faith? How do we stay focused? There's three things that I notice that we should focus on. Just three things. First thing we need to do, and believe it or not, Peter was doing this, but he didn't realize it because he got distracted. First thing we need to do is challenge God. If we're doubting, let's challenge God. God said, take it to me. Come to me with your problems. Come to me with your questions. Come to me. Let us reason together. Your problems is not too big for God. Your queries, your concerns, it's not big. It's not too big. So Peter challenged God. He said, if you are, then. If you are God, then when I get on this water, I should be able to walk. That's exactly what he did, and he moved in faith. He moved in faith. So number one, challenge God. Take your concerns to him and then move in faith. You can't stay where you are. Okay, number two. Peter had an epiphany. He realized that if he stayed in the boat, his situation wasn't going to change. He realized that he had to get out of the boat. How many of us are in situations in our lives that we're like, we feel stuck and it's comfortable? I remember there was a bunch of disciples in the boat. They was all in the boat. They were comfortable. They were like, hey, you know, we're rowing. We're in this together. But maybe they weren't all in one accord because they didn't even know that was Jesus. I mean, come on. You know, they saw it. Ooh, that's a ghost. You know, so. Peter, at least Peter, knew he had to get out of the situation that he was in. Some of us, we're in that same job. We don't think that we deserve or should do better, so we're there. We may be in a situation with someone, you know, a married person who's seeing someone on the side. Anything, a distraction, and we're like in this situation. You have to move. If you want to be blessed, you have to move. Realize that you are in a situation that God doesn't want you in. Someone that you know or a loved one experiencing drugs or alcohol or just in the situation dealing drugs. You have to have that epiphany to move. Get out of that situation. Number two. That was number two. Number three, it's an easy one. Believe in the power of God. You have to believe in the power of God. Now, it's interesting because as Peter was walking on the water, I can only imagine that he believed. He was like, wow, this is easy. I can do this. Then I guess he felt some winds, and then he got squirrel. Oh, he got distracted. What did he do? Oh, Lord, help me. He started to believe and depend on himself. He's like, hey, I got this. Sometimes God makes things kind of easy for us. And we think that is us and not God. So it's like, okay, things are going along good. Okay, yeah, I got this. And then he has to, I don't want to say kick, but he has to nudge us in such a way to let us know that it's not about us. It's not us who's doing this. This is him. This is God. This is our Father. So he shakes us up. He tries to get our attention. Maybe there's an illness or there's something that we've been feeling in our bodies, and we say, oh, okay, it's nothing. I'm going to check it out. Okay, well, you know, God's sending you a warning. You need to get that checked out. Men, need to get your prostate checked out. Need to get checked out. But we let it go, we let it go, and then boom, oh my goodness. Call 911. There's a problem. We go to the hospital. The doctor says, well, you know, we need to have surgery because this, that is happening. Did you get checked out a couple of months ago, or have you checked? Because this has been kind of nagging. This is not something new. And you're like, well, I thought it would go away. No. God talks to us in many type of ways. He talks to us through our friends, godly friends, our spouses, to encourage us. So that's a little PSA announcement. Please, men, get your prostate checked. So, yes, so we have to believe that God is who God is, and he has the power. And he will work in our lives. Peter was already walking and living out a miracle. Now this is interesting. Now, if you have a scientific mind, sometimes you may not believe in the power of God. If you're a scientist, oh, this is the world. This is the world. Okay. Let's analyze this walking on water. Okay. Peter is a man. He stands logically. He shouldn't be walking on water. Logically, he should be what? Sinking. You shouldn't get that promotion, but you have God, and you get this promotion. So the scientific worldly mind, this is how they describe objects that are floating. What makes an object float? Density is a measure of how heavy something is compared to its size. Stop right there. What's your problem? What's the size of your problem? You think that problem is too big for God? You think your problem is like, it's a heavy problem. It can't float. It's gonna sink. It's sinking me. If an object is more dense than water, it will sink. When placed in water, science says if it is less dense than water, it will float. So God kind of mixes things up. For the believer, he switches it. He switches things, you know. So I said, we got scientists in here. Let's see. Because, okay, if something's really heavy, it should not float. It should sink because it's more dense than the water. So how does these large vessels float? The displaced water is exerting force upward against the boat. Can you put that slide on? Just show this slide. And how many of us like to cruise? We got cruisers? Do we got cruisers in the house? I'm a cruiser. I love the cruise. Okay, there we go. We have all these sizes of ships, huge ships. And do we wonder how they float? How is that possible? How is that possible? That means if scientifically they can explain this, and this really happens. Do you think that any of your problems are any too big for God to float your problems and get you to the other side? Huh? No. The displaced water is exerting force against upward. It force the water is against the boat. With God, he is the force. It doesn't matter how large the ship is that we're floating on. Doesn't matter how large your problem is. It doesn't matter. God can handle it. The force, since it's may the fourth be with you, is God. God can handle all things, all your problems. He is the force behind the ship, be underneath that ship. You may have a problem that's huge, like a cruise ship problem, but God can handle that. He'll float you through. And people will say, how in the world did you get through? How did you get through? Tell you what, when Peter put his eyes right back on Jesus, he got up. Immediately, he got up. So we can't depend on ourselves. You know, Harold, could you come here? This is good. Real quick. It's demonstration. Now, right here, just come down here. Now, come up here. So he's a bigger guy, you know. So it takes more force for me to do this myself. Now, Harold, give me your hand and just help bring me up, help me up, real fast. That was the least force that I needed. Thank you for that. Thank you. So when Christ lifted up Peter, immediately, it's scripture says immediately he got up. He put him back in the boat. How many of us have those type of friends that we can depend on, that those godly friends that they'll reach out and bring us up? Do we have that? Yes, we need that. We need to surround ourselves with godly people. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because when we keep our eyes fixed on him, there is no problem too big that he can't fix, that he can bring you out of. If, like I said, if it's drug addiction, he can bring you out of that. If you have thoughts of suicide, he can help you with that. The world tells you alcohol, sex, pornography, all type. Stay on TikTok. So many things. Stay there. You don't need God, but God knows that he can change your life. He is the salvation. All we need to do is keep our eyes fixed on him. I mean, when Peter realized that, Peter didn't know that he was living and acting out the miracle as he was doing it, because he believed. Because of his faith, he walked on water, and when he got caught up in his own self, he sank. So we need to remember that. Increase our faith. Increase our walk. When we do that, God will keep us in the path as long as we have our eyes fixed on him. You know, God is larger, like I said, than any of our problems. No situation is too large for God. Do you know of anyone that needs God's touch, his healing touch? Amen, amen. Is there a loved one that needs his salvation? We need to be disciples, like all the disciples in the boat. Jesus used that moment to witness, where everyone in the boat was changed. Peter, he had the courage to get out of the boat. He changed the situation. He realized the situation that he was in. He wanted to believe. And it's interesting that Jesus said, you doubt. So what's beyond the shadow of doubt? Jesus is beyond any shadow of doubt. If there's any doubt in your mind of what he can do for you or change your life, just look up. He's changed. He's changed lives. He's changed people. Lives that you've never thought that they've come from where they came from. Their story. Transforming. Only Christ can transform. The world transform is temporary. You hear about all these artists, these people that's in entertainment. I get these news feeds, and next thing you know, they're on high. Next thing you know, someone's dying. Someone's dying here. They're dying here. Overdose. Or I mean, it's fleeting. this world is fleeting. The things of this world, the things that this world promise is fleeting. It's not promise. But with Christ, it's promise that he will see us through and take us through. If you want to experience Jesus in your life today, would you stand with me? Stand at this time. If there's anyone seeking a closer walk with Jesus, or even if there's someone that you know of that's having a struggle, I know this is Mental Awareness Month. There's a lot of issues going on. I know there's a lot of young people. They're hurting. They're having struggles with their beliefs. They're questioning what does God want from me? You know, what is this world expecting of me? And we need to pray for our young people. I know Message of Hope caters to the youth, caters to a lot of college students. And because of what's going on in this world, they're protesting. They need hope. They need Christ. If there's someone special that you know of that you want to pray for, I invite you to come down right now. If there's someone that you know of, even if it's you, come down to be a part of this special prayer, to be a part. If you know someone that's having a struggle, I know some people in my family, young people, that they're having struggles. We need to help them out. Come right now. This is a sacred time, sacred moment, because through Christ, he can do all things. We must believe that we have that assurance because he's done it time and time again, over and over again. Dear kind of Heavenly Father, we pray right now that you would remove the spirit of doubt from our minds, that you would remove any inclination that we can't do this without you. Take away any fear, the fear of drowning in life's problems, the fear of not measuring up because society wants us to measure up. We pray for the youth that need you, some of them don't even realize that they need you because they're following this world. And this world is only headed for destruction, Lord. So we pray that your spirit will be poured out. We pray that the people here will be an influence on the young people or the people in their lives, that they will be changed and be transformed, Lord, because only you can transform. Only you can walk on water. Now, Peter walked on water because he believed in you. And as soon as he took his eyes off of you, he started to sink, but you just brought him back, Lord. So thank you for always giving us hope, the assurance that you can save us, Lord. There's no case too far gone. No one is too far gone out of your reach, Lord. So we pray that you will bless, that you will touch their hearts and change them and bring them to you, Lord. People are here because they are hurting, they are looking for you, and they want that connection. I pray this prayer in thy holy Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, and for his sake, Lord, we pray. Let all God's people say, amen, 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 amen.